chapter 12 and verse number 12. Read along as I read aloud. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Thank you, Lord, for this, your word. I pray that you help us to see some things about chastening and about being corrected that would help us tonight. Lord, we as your children, we face correction as our relationship with you, as child with parent. And so, Lord, I pray that you help us to understand some things that would be helpful to us today and to take the advice of what to do when we're chastened. So, Lord, I pray that you just bless in all that's said and done here tonight. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's go back and pick it up from verse number 5, and then we'll look through verse number 13 where we just ended up here. Hebrews chapter 12 from verse number 5. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, my son. Now this is the exhortation. It's a quote from the Old Testament. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh with which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they, verily, for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Okay, so that's putting it in context here. It's all about chastening or going through correction. As a child of God, we go through correction when we do wrong, and we have a relationship with our Heavenly Father. That's the way that Jesus said, this is our relationship, this is the way you pray, our Father which art in heaven. And it's a Heavenly Father's relationship to his children, and when we have that kind of a relationship, we follow the Lord, follows in his instruction, and learn and grow and mature. But then sometimes when we do wrong, we have to be corrected, have to be chastened. That's being punished. We would say punished, but it's actually got, it's not punishment like you do something wrong and then you just have to pay the piper. No, it's more of a correction, you know, going through a spanking or a whooping or however you want to call it, so that we have our activity corrected. Last week we began with this passage particularly because we needed to address an in-house attitude of godliness and a relationship that we as the children of God in the house of God need to cultivate and display. It was precisely because of what we as a church are experiencing and because of the challenges that we're facing right now, and that's why we use this passage of Scripture to deal with that. The takeaway last week from the passage was to emulate the Lord in acting for one another's good. Like he says here, we are chastened not to benefit the Father, although it does benefit him, but to benefit us for our good. It's not for us or to satisfy our desires, but it's for the child. It's for the child's good. And so that's what we took away, and we looked at that part of the Scripture where it says, hey, the Lord chastens us that way, where selfless. He's not doing it for himself. He's doing it for us, and so we get the benefit. Now, along the way, we dealt with the understanding of eternal security via the relationship that a child of God has with his Heavenly Father. We looked at that this passage of Scripture and said we can understand how that a child is a child and has a relationship with the Lord, and it's unbreakable. Once you're a child, Jesus promised, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, and that's true. And we can see that we can understand a little bit more of eternal security if you understand the whole aspect of chastening. Every son whom he receives goes through chastening. If you don't endure chastening, he says, you're not a child. You're not legitimate, in strong words. He says, you know, every son goes through this. And so we've known people that have made professions, and there's no chastening. They do whatever they want to do, and scot-free. And he says very clearly, that's not a child. Every kid goes through the woodshed with the dad, with the parents, because the parents love them. I mean, good parents will chasten their children. We also spoke about horizontal sibling lessons. You know, when somebody else in the house gets a whooping, when you have more than one child, they seem to gain from that. You know, if any one of our kids, we had six kids growing up in my home, I was one of five other siblings, and when any one of us did something really bonehead and they got a whooping for it, it made an effect upon everybody in the house. You know, you'd see what's going on, you'd see the grief and the pain and whatever, you hear the whimpering in the next room, and you got therapeutic for everybody. You know, you kind of learn from that. And that's what the Bible says, 1 Timothy 5:20, them that sin rebuke before all, that others also may fear. He says, listen, when one in the house of God goes through and gets blasted by the Lord, or rebuked by the Lord, or chastened or corrected, then others will fear also. And that's what happens when we see people in the family of God go through difficulties. You ought to pay attention. You ought to see that, and you ought to say, you know what? I'm going to learn from that. I'm not going to do the same bonehead thing because I don't want that kind of treatment. And so you learn because, and others also fear because of what the child of God goes through. What the passage emphasizes is that the notable feature of the discipline that we get from the Father, it's for our good. And that's what we went over last week in verse number 10. It says, for they verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. We get the fruit of righteousness. This is for our good. We went over that. Now, we didn't finish with verse number 12 and 13. We're going to just finish the passage with those two verses. And tonight, we're going to finish those thoughts with verse number 12. Wherefore, lift up the hands which he says, wherefore, and he's saying, okay, we get chastened. We're kids. We're children in the family of God. And we get disciplined by the Heavenly Father. What do we do with that when we get chastened? This is what we do with it. Wherefore, because of chastening, because we go through chastening, because each one of us goes through the unpleasant experience of being chastened, therefore, or wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. I can understand, you know, when you're beat down, you've got a discouragement about that, hands that are hanging down and feeble knees. He says, verse 13, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it be, rather be healed. This is what all this information means to us in our practical application. What do we do with the understanding of God's loving interaction with us, even when it hurts? Because it hurts. Everybody that gets chastened, if it doesn't hurt, it's not effective. My kids, my boys, especially when they were growing older, and if they ever got chastened by mom, after a while, it was almost a badge of courage to get in there and laugh about it. This doesn't hurt. Okay, mom, move over to the side. We're going to make it hurt. Okay, Dad comes in there. Chastening that is effective hurts. Or should hurt more than the crime. The punishment must exceed the crime for chastening to be effective. When somebody goes out here and murders somebody and they just slap them on the hand and you get 5 years in prison and then you're out, it's like, okay, well, go ahead, you know, murder some more. That's what happens. It's like the guy that, anyway, we're going to go on. we're not going to. So what he's saying here in the passage of Scripture, what do we do with this? Basically, verse number 12, verse number 13, he says, don't become discouraged. Child of God, don't get discouraged when you go through chastening, when you visit the woodshed. It's for your good. He says you'll grow and you'll mature. You're going to benefit from this. You're going to have the peaceable fruit of righteousness. What you need to do is you need to welcome God's uncomfortable interactions. It's uncomfortable at the least. It's painful experiences at the most. But God has these uncomfortable relationships with his children. And what he's saying is, welcome it. Don't run from it. Don't try to avoid it. Welcome them. And it seems as though we need to be reminded of this, because we surely can't focus on inward, miserable condition that we go through when we're chastened. Or we get the divine perspective of all the wonderful progress that we'll ultimately experience because of it, and we're not focused on that. We're focused on the pain, on the difficulty of experiencing the chastening of the Lord. When dealing with the subject of discipline, it seems as though God needs to remind us. This is what he says in the passage. Don't despise it. He's quoting from a Proverbs passage. Don't despise the chastening of the Lord. Don't faint. When you're going through the chastening and it's hard, it's uncomfortable, it's painful, don't faint. Remember, it's because you are loved. That's what he's saying in the passage. The ultimate will produce fruit in your life through the chastening. And in our text tonight, he says, don't be discouraged or overwhelmed, be lifted up. Well, we can certainly understand this kind of a temptation to fall to discouragement and to despair over this kind of treatment as we continually deal with correction. If you're dealing with correction over and over and over again, you know how you deal with correction over and over and over again? How do you deal with that? Why would somebody deal with correction over and over and over and over again? Didn't learn, right? Didn't learn the first time. And you know what? You're going to go through it more and more, again and again, until you learn the lesson. You pass the course, you don't have to take that class again. But then you can go on to the next challenge, to the next class, to the next instance of maturity and growth and whatever. But unless you learn, you're just kind of going over and over and over. And sometimes that gets weary. That gets hard. And in dealing with correction, there are typical warnings and encouragements in the face of correction not to get a bad attitude about correction. Now, folks, I'm talking to children of God here. I'm talking about those who endure chastening when we go through that stuff, you know, that response from the Lord. Proverbs chapter 15, verse number 10. Correction is grievous unto him that forsaketh the way, and he that hateth reproof shall die. It's grievous. You know what grievous means? It's, got to go through this. You hate it. I hate reproof. Why would this kind of rebuke be grievous? Well, because it's hard to take. It's easy to dislike this kind of correction. It's easy to get to the place to where you go through this, and man, you don't want to go there. I don't enjoy this at all. I'm not having a good day when I'm going through being corrected. Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. This is the kind of instruction that is correction, instruction that you go through, and it might be painful. God makes it uncomfortable for you when you're being instructed and corrected in these ways. And it says the fool is the one that despises it. Well, it's easy to despise. It's easy to hate reproof and correction. In the reproof a father is giving to his son in the fifth chapter of Proverbs, we get the idea that it would be easy to hate and despise correction, because it says this, Proverbs 5:12. Here he's talking, well, you can put it in context here. We don't have to go over the whole thing. But he's giving some instruction to his son, or it might be a mother giving instruction to a son and saying, hey, kid, don't get off into immorality. Because, and here it's specifically speaking about STDs. Put it in context. Take a look at it. The difficulties that you'll face in your flesh, the diseases the problems that you'll face in your flesh because of being immoral. And that's what the warning is about here in context. And he says, and say, you're going to get to the place if you despise reproof, if you're not paying attention, you'll say to yourself, how have I hated instruction? And my heart despised reproof, and have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined mine ear to them that instructed me. See, this kind of instruction is a kind with strong reproof involved. And here's the kid that didn't listen and says, after it's all over with, and he's facing the consequences, he's paying the piper now, they're the ones that when they went through the instruction and the correction of a parent, good wisdom and good correction, they hated that. They didn't like that. Didn't like to be told what's right and what's wrong. And notice what it says. How did I hate reproof? Hate instruction. Despise reproof. It's easy. It's easy to despise a reproof like this. You know what reproof is? Reproof is saying you're not in the right way, but it's strong reproof. A reproof, a correction with some force added to it. And so he says here, man, you're gonna regret looking back and not having the right attitudes towards reproof and correction and chastisement. He said, man, I hated that. Well, yeah, now because you're in a situation where you're paying for it. This entails getting your toes stepped on. You know what? When you're going through instruction and correction this way, getting your feathers ruffled, getting in your face and telling you that you're wrong. Folks, that's half of the Word of God when applied to sinners. 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Doctrine and instruction is positive. Reproof and correction is negative. And he says all of the Word of God has got to do with doctrine, that's teaching good things and all. Reproof and correction is not easy to take. That's getting in your face and telling you, hey, you're wrong. That's ruffling the feathers. That's petting the cat the wrong way. Reproof and correction. See, doctrine and instruction are positive. Reproof and correction are negative. They're painful. They're uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable to go through that. Let me share with you a story or two, personal illustration. When I first got saved, see, I was, this week, I was able to spend some time with my son, Luke. He says, hey, Dad, why don't we go out to lunch and all? I said, hey, yeah, no, love that. So we got a chance to go out. Anyway, we were talking about this and that and talking about whatever's going on. And he says, Dad, you never have told us much about your background. You know, what you went through as a teenager and as a kid. You never said much about that. And there's a reason, because, you know, I've had a sordid background. I was on the wrong side of the tracks, immoral and ungodly and into drugs. Never been into alcohol, but into drugs, heavy, you know. And so he was kind of curious about that. And so I was able to tell him a little bit about that and all. And this is what he said. He says, you know, I work around people that are all the time, now here in this state, you know, marijuana is legal. So it's like, well, it's not wrong anymore, right? It's not bad. It doesn't matter what the government says is right and wrong. I tell you, it does matter what God says is right and wrong. You know, the government says, you can kill a child in the womb, an innocent child. You can kill an innocent child. That's what the government says. Hey, God speaks differently on that. But nonetheless, in this state that we live in, he says he works with people all the time that are, you know, smoking dope and whatever. And he said, thanks, Dad, for raising us right. That was never a problem with me. I never had to come to the place where I just was wondering whether or not it was right for me to get into that or not get into that, because, you know, you just laid it out properly. And I've never had to struggle with that. So, amen, praise the Lord for that. But it made me think about back when I first got saved. I'm telling you, folks, I was on the wrong side of the tracks. When I got saved, I came to know Christ, and everything I did was wrong. Everything I did was wrong. What I did, my practices, my everything. I mean, I had so much to change in my life, and it didn't just all drop away. Like somebody says, you know, yeah, I used to be this, and then the moment I got saved, I was different. Well, I was different in my heart, but it took a long time for the Lord to kind of clean me up and, you know, convince my stubborn, you know, hard head with a lot of the, you know, things in Scripture. But nonetheless, I had hair down my back. And there was nothing wrong with that in my eyes. I mean, that was just what I chose to do, and that's the way I chose to live. Back then, I was the original hippie, you know. It was before it was popular, okay? So it got to be popular later on in high school and all that, where everybody has had long hair, but I had long hair before it was popular. But anyway, so I got saved, and my hair was long, which it's hard for you guys to look at your pastor and say, that, you know, all right, right. Anyway, so, but anyway, that's who I was. And I remember getting saved and going to a church just like this, and hearing for the very first time in my life that it was not right for a man to have long hair. And it was like, I'm in a church just like this. I'm the only one that looks like AC/DC, you know? And here's a preacher. He addresses the situation. And who in the whole world is he talking about, you know? Me, you know, and I'm sitting there, and that was offensive. I'm telling you folks here today, that was offensive. It was hard for me to hear what the Word of God had to say, even if he merely just read the Scriptures. There was no way my preacher could have broached the subject of the distinction between the sexes that the Bible teaches without causing me discomfort. You bet that that subject was met with resistance. And I wasn't going to take that sitting down, you know what I mean? I was mad. I remember when he dealt with that, I was mad. But the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 11:14, doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? That's what the Bible says. Okay, all right. You decide how long is, okay? Go ahead, you argue with the Lord about that whole thing. But just reading the passage, let alone teaching it, it was distasteful. I'm telling you, it was distasteful to me. Why? Well, because I was in the wrong. I was on the other side of that. Just yesterday, I was traveling up from Vancouver, Washington, there was a preacher's meeting down in Vancouver, so I was there, and I was coming back. That's a long trip, about 3 or 4 hours with traffic and everything, and I stopped at an IHOP. Anybody get free pancakes yesterday? Thank you, yes. Once a year, you go through National Pancake Day, they give you a free plate of pancakes at IHOP. I happen to know that. Now you guys know that, but you won't be able to get it till next year. But anyway, so I knew that. I was driving along, and I was like, where is an IHOP? Siri, bring me to IHOP. You know? Anyway, I stopped at an IHOP, and I'm sitting there, and I'm eating my free pancakes, and this is cool, you know? And there was a couple of girls in the booth right across from me, and they were young teenagers, and one of them had pink hair. I mean, she had blonde hair that was now, Kool-Aid pink. I mean, pink, you know, and, you know, weird kind of everything everywhere, and, you know, anyway, so, and the other one wasn't all, you know, tattooed up and pierced and everything else, but was a very nice-looking girl. You know, both of them, you know, I didn't notice these nice-looking girls only because I'm just telling you, how do I get out of this? Anyway, all right, so I'm sitting there, and I'm eating my pancakes, and I'm by myself, and I'm eating my pancakes, and I hear this guy saying, yeah, whatever, you know, talking like that, and I'm looking around, and I can't find where the guy is. So then I looked again, and I couldn't figure it out. I'm eating my pancakes. I hear this guy, and I looked over, These two girls were actually not two girls. There was one girl and one guy. The boy was the nice-looking one. That's creepy, you know?
Yeah.
I'm telling you, makeup and lipstick and big curly hair and everything. And I'm looking and I'm going, I want to see this creature speak because is that the one that's got a man's voice? Sure enough, there's a boy, you know? And I'm going, this is weird, you know? Let me ask you something. How can we help teens today escape the gender confusion that Satan has pushed on society? Avoid it? Pretend like it's not there? Now, let me say this. It wouldn't be pleasant any way we deal with it. If I had a relationship with these kids, you know, was able to sit down with them and talk to them, that'd be, you know, one-on-one thing is just something else. But, okay, now, your Sunday school teacher, your preacher, a parent has to deal with this. How do we deal with that from the pulpit that is not going to make somebody offended if we've got to teach what the Bible says? Is there any way to deal with that in an unpleasant way? Hardly. And such is the case with any sin. Folks, you know, we look at something and one sin's not any greater than any other sin. What about dealing with immorality? What about dealing with somebody who's in rebellion? What about somebody who's actually struggling with drugs or alcohol or pornography or dishonesty or independence from God or laziness or homosexuality or cursing and blasphemy, gluttony, lust? I don't care what it is. Addressing sin is met by resistance, by rebuke, by shame, by correction. There's no way to overcome sin unless there's an uncomfortable showdown with holiness and separation and confession. When you deal with confronting sin, it's going to be hard to take. It's going to be offensive. When you go through the correction of the Word of God, like I say, like when I was a kid and I had long hair, just reading the Scripture was offensive to me. Offensive. Until I later, you know, it's funny how the Lord changes things, because since that time when I was a kid, and now no longer am that way, I'm thinking, how in the world did I ever do that? Why? How could I ever, you know, do it? My desires and likes and everything was upside down. It was absolutely upside down. But I remember first hearing what God said about it, which was contrary to my walk. And I'm telling you, there's no way to get around being offended or going through unpleasantness when you're dealing with setting things straight God's way. See, now that's why the Bible warns us about hating the chastening hand of God. We naturally dislike it. Nobody likes to get correction. I don't know about you, but I don't like to get corrected. And I'm sure you don't like to get corrected either. We squirm when we're confronted. We hate it. And that's what the Scripture says. Don't despise. Despise not the chastening of the Lord. Why? Because it's something easy to despise. I don't like that. I don't like going to a church where when I go and I'm there and I get blasted by the preacher or by the Word of God and it's offensive to me. And a side note, a good church is a church where you are held accountable. Some people choose various fellowships and churches so that they could get lost among the crowd, and they're not held accountable. But if it's a good church, and you got a good pastor, you got good friends at church, they're not going to let you be dumb and continue on in things. They'll confront in a loving way, hopefully, but you can't get out of that because you do have an accountability. Anyway, getting back to correction, okay? When we're corrected, just like the Bible says, and this is dealing with correction, isn't it? He says, despise not thou the correction, the chastening of the Lord. Despise not. Every believer is chastened due to personal sin and failure. When I fail, I don't like hearing somebody say, you did wrong, you were off, you look at that. I don't like that. I'm sorry, I don't like that. But you know, the Spirit of God says that to me sometimes when I'm off, when I fail. The Spirit of God points it out in my life and says, wait a minute. Now, he doesn't do it in a snide way like that, but does it in a loving way, but he points it out. That's not right. That's not right. Oh, goody, I get to get, rebuked. you don't feel that way, do you? It's not pleasant when you're chastened due to personal sin and failure. That's what Paul said. Paul, the Apostle Paul, Romans 7:14, he says, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. I hate it, and I'm going that direction. And I know, and he's got a conscience, and the Spirit of God's working on him with the Word of God. And he says, man, I tell you what, this is an awful situation. He goes on to verse number 18. He says, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present. I want to do right. That's present with me. But how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. And you know why he's feeling that way? Because he's a Christian and because he's got the nature of God and he messes up. And when you mess up and when I mess up, we're right there, aren't we? We feel that very same thing. Man, I hate failing. I hate falling off the boat. I hate, doing this stuff because I know what's right and I know what's wrong. And he's in strife with his own failure there. Because every believer is chastened when they fail. When you have personal failure, personal sin. And this chastening can be trying. If we don't have the correct attitude towards the chastening that we get. Proverbs 1:8, my son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace under thy head and chains about thy neck. He's saying, listen, don't run from the instruction, from the correction, from the chastening of the Lord. Don't run from it. Don't avoid it. Enough of that. I've heard enough of that. I'm not listening to it. No, don't get into that attitude. Hear the instruction. Forsake not the instruction, the correction. Proverbs 10:17. He is in the way of life that keepeth instruction, but he that refuseth reproof erreth. If you're going to refuse reproof, you know what reproof is? That's correction. That's instruction in a forceful way. You dummy. Now, maybe not. Done. That's kind of what we're used to. But it's correction. Worst thing in the world when I was a kid, when I was a teenager, worst thing in the world was my dad's hand on the back of the head. You know, he instructed me to do something and I was off or I did something wrong and I'd go by him and he'd go, he hit me and I'm like, oh, I hate that. Ugh, I just hated it. I hated it. I hate it today. Don't you ever do that to me. I'll kill you. But you know what? When we get reproof from the Lord, that's what it says. He's in the way of life that keepeth instruction, but he that refuseth reproof, you're going to go off. See, because that reproof, every once in a while, I'm off, I'm not right, I'm not right in my spirit. I come to church or read my Bible, and God deals with me with something that's in my life, and it's not pleasant, I don't like it, it's reproof. Don't refuse it. Don't avoid it. That's what he's saying. Proverbs 15:10. Correction is grievous unto him that forsaketh the way, and he that hateth reproof shall die. Hey, listen, you need to welcome reproof. You need to be grateful for a church that deals with sin and bad attitudes and whatever. When we're dealing with the Word of God, you need to thank God for that. Don't run from it. Don't hate it. As it says, if you hate reproof, you're going to die. Ain't no preacher going to tell me that. Ain't no preacher going to talk to me that. I'm out of here. Okay, well, go ahead. Die. You want to live, you better have the right attitude towards reproof. And I'm talking about when the Word of God reproves, in a proper way, and the Spirit of God reproves a life. That's why the psalmist is grieved in the correction, that God is correcting him in his life. In Psalm 73, this is one of my favorite psalms. I love this. It's the diary of a backslider. Somebody gets away from the Lord. In Psalm 73, what a picture of somebody, and I've been there, and you've been there, and it's a picture of somebody that's going through rebuke and hating it, and not having the right attitude towards the Lord's correction in your life. He says here in Psalm 73, 13, "Verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency, for all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning." Now, he's a child of God. Who do you think is chastening him? It's the Lord is chastening him. It's God's righteousness and his word through the Spirit of God being chastened. He says, every morning I get chastened. Every morning. I mean, you know why a person is chastened? Because they're off and God wants to get you back on, going to get you in the right way. And he's not going to allow you to remain in sin, remain off, remain in rebellion. God's not going to allow you, his children, to do that. And here he says, I've been plagued every morning, chastened every morning, being blasted. You know, plagued is not God's way at looking at chastening. It says, you better not look at chastening that way. That's a backslider's way of looking at it. No, no, no. That's the wrong reaction. That's a bad attitude. And this guy, the psalmist, had a bad attitude toward the chastening of the Lord. Matter of fact, in that psalm, you can read it later, he stops and he says, you know what? This is bad. If I remain backslidden away from God like this, there's a whole generation of God's children going to get offended looking at my life and what I'm doing. Now, our text gives us a few good hints as to the right way of taking chastening. So let's get back to our text here in Hebrews chapter 12. Look at verse number 12 again. Hebrews 12, 12. This is what he says. Remember, all this is about chastening. Now, this is how you can take it right, how I can take it right. And listen, we're all in the same boat here. Your preacher is not like looking down his nose at anybody saying, you guys, no, we guys, all of us. This is how we should take chastening. After he's dealing with the whole subject of chastening, he says, okay, this is what you do with it. Verse 12. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. This is what we do with the chastening of the Lord. The reason for chastisement in the first place is because something's off. Something's off to begin with. We're not in the greatest spiritual health, or we don't have the greatest practices. We're not in safety at that point. No, no, we're being chastened because there's something off. So what do we do when we are chastened of the Lord? What do we do? Number one, real simple. Okay, I tell you what, I'm going to give you the whole outline right here. And then we'll go back and fill in the blanks. And we're done with these three points. What do you do when you're chastened? Get up, straighten up, and bind up. Okay? Number one, get up. That's what he says in verse number 12. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. Lifting up means we've been beaten down. He says you got to have a positive attitude towards chastening. Get up. You know what? When we're chastened, instead of being like the psalmist or like us sometimes, despising the chastening of the Lord, no, we should be grateful for it. Thank you, God. That means you love me. You're not going to let me go on and on and on and hurt myself and others. You'll love me. Thank you, Lord. Have the right attitude of gratitude for chastening. Embrace it. Not run from it. Not to despise reproof and avoid it and not listen to it and close your ears. No. Embrace it. Embrace the chastening of the Lord when he corrects us on something. Refuse to be discouraged. He's talking about discouragement. You know, the feeble knees and the hands which hang down. You got a picture of somebody like, that's discouraged. Don't be discouraged about chastening. That's what he's saying. Don't get that kind of an attitude. I mean, that's what Satan would have you to do, and you're not going to take it right. No. Accept it. Know that it's for your good. Be grateful that God's chastening you, because there's something in your life that he's trying to correct. He's trying to get you out of that. He's trying to lift you up, put your feet on a rock, okay? So, number one, get up. Number two, straighten up. Adopt God's advice here. Look at it. He says in verse 13, and make straight paths for your feet. What does that mean? Make straight paths for your feet. That means support godliness, biblically designed standards. Follow the instruction of God to get out of the range of temptation. You know what? Listen, especially our young people that are here. We do have our teenagers in here and all the other adults. Listen, there's so much that God gives us about being safe. Hey, listen, if you want to play it safe, this is what you do. You apply biblical standards to your life, to your heart. The Bible says, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. Okay, so apply that to your entertainment. Everybody. You know what God says? Hey, don't go there. Don't do that. And you know what? If you just apply these biblical standards, here's a guy and a gal, and they're having a tough time keeping their hands off of each other, and they're not married. And so God gives the instruction for that. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 is good for a man not to touch a woman. That's what God's directive is. Hey, don't go there. You know, but you know what making straight paths for your feet is? That means, okay, if you're wounded, if you're on crutches and you're just hobbling along, it'd be hard for you to take a road like this up a mountain. No, make it easy on yourself. Straighten out the pathway. So he's talking about supporting godliness. Follow the instruction of God to get out of the range of temptation. Run from temptation. Eliminate yourself from harm's way. Don't make it hard to walk. Don't make it hard to walk the walk of a Christian. Make straight paths, not crooked, hard, difficult ways. Eliminate obstacles. Give yourself a wide berth from sin. That's why it says, like, for instance, in Proverbs chapter 5, verse number 8, here he's talking about a harlot and a young man falling to immorality because of the temptation that's out there. And he says, now listen, this is what you do. Young men, you're having difficulty, you're being tempted, this is what you do. Verse number 5 in that chapter, you can read it, put it in context later. He says, remove thy way far from her, from the harlot's house. Remove thy way far from her and come not nigh the door of her house. He says here, now he's given some good, wise advice to young men that are having a difficulty with that. Well, how do you avoid falling? Don't go near her house. Let me ask you something. Is it wrong to walk the sidewalk in front of a harlot's house? Is that sin? No, it's not sin. It's just unwise. If you're having a problem there, what he's saying is remove thy foot far from her. That means, hey, take the next street. Stay clear away from it. Not because it's sin, but because it's wise to make straight paths for your feet, you know, to set up the right standards in your heart and your life so that you could apply the Word of God. You could walk that way. And so he says, and that's what the Bible says. There's no sin in walking on the sidewalk in front of the harlot's house, but there's plenty of stupidity in it, if that's your problem. If you're having a problem with alcohol, don't stop off at the bar and get a Coke. You know, and sit there with all your friends drinking. That's not going to help you. You know, you got a difficulty with that. Hey, how to apply biblical principles? Make straight paths for your feet. Remove thy foot far from that. Get away from that. You know? So, what do we do when we're chastened? Number one, according to the text, get up. Lift up the hands which hang down, feeble knees. Number two, straighten up. Make straight paths for your feet. And then number three, bind up. This is talking about doctor the wounds. Because listen, when we're chastened, that's because we've been wounded by sin and by our stupidity and by whatever. And we're going through difficulty in our lives because of sin. This is what I counsel people that go through difficulty in pornography or immorality or something. There's a condition of that person and that person's heart that is wounded. And if it's wounded, you better put some TLC in that. You better doctor that and be very careful with that. He says, bind up. In Hebrews 12:12, wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. You know what feeble means? Unsound. They're not strong. You're not strong. Feeble. Make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. See, lame here is not just the name for your brother or sister. Lame here means that it's not well, not sound, lame. Rather, let it be healed, because right now you're hurting, okay? Divine healing must be applied to the feeble and to the lame. Whenever we come out of the cold, whenever we come away from the world, out of sin, there are some sore spots that have got to be doctored, got to be treated, got to be specially cared for till the broken bones are healed and mended and are made strong. How do you do that? Well, you get in the house of God. Get in the hothouse of God's medical unit. There's safety in the healing of our wounds by the goodness and nurture of the Lord. So what do you do when you're chastened, as the context said? Three things. Get up, straighten up, bind up. And you know what? We do that and we'll apply chastening properly. You know, I am so grateful to have a Bible that doesn't hold back. When I'm reading it and I say, God, speak to me, and he does sometimes a whole lot more than I want him to or I have asked him to. It's like, you know, I didn't mean for that. I didn't want to go there, but the Lord brought it out and brought this and speaking to me about something in my life that's not right. You know, thank God for that. They have the right attitude towards correction. Have the right attitude towards church and correction there. Have the right attitude when you're dealing with the Lord and correction. What do you do when you're chasing? Well, get up, straighten up, and bind up. Every head bowed, nobody looking, for just a moment. Lord, thank you.